It's a conversation.
Thank you again for the beautiful intro.
Yes.
It's so great.
Thank you.
Speaking of music, I'm going to just start with a segue. Speaking of music.
Let's do it.
So today's topic that I wrote down, I actually called it Small Wonders, which is a phrase that I'm borrowing from Griffin and Rachel McElroy. They have an excellent podcast called Wonderful.
Check it out.
It's very good. And they just talk about things they love. And it was part of my inspiration in the direction of this podcast to just talk about stuff we love. They have a section at the start of all their episodes just called Small Wonders, and it's just the little things that happened that week, and I kind of just want to have a Small Wonders episode. It's all good vibes this time.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation. Good. Sorry. Okay. We're so sorry.
I'm not sorry. I will never apologize.
You tell them.
That's my attitude, but then in real life, I am not that.
Relatable!
So I wanted to start out by talking about a music artist that you love.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be your all-time favorite, but just what's one that you love? Let's hear about it.
This week it's Daft Punk. And you know what? Like, I do like techno music, but nowhere near as much as I like some of the other genres. But I was writing a paper this week. It's not finished. I was writing a paper this week, and I was, you know, we have a little boombox, oh, the days, in our living room, and I need music to work. That's the tea.
Yeah.
So I was putting on different things, like I put on the soundtrack to Ragtime, which is a movie from, like, the 80s, and the soundtrack is
Was it, like, Ragtime piano music?
That yeah. Sounds, that's I mean, yes.
Real jazzy. I'd get so
and
distracted.
And then I put on music that you would have heard on Titanic, the ship,
excellent.
Not the movie James Cameron. And then I put on my favorite Daft Punk album, which is Discovery, and I just jived with it. I think more than I've jived with it before. And it was really useful for, like, hyping me up, but also giving me, like, you know, good vibes for writing my paper. And one specific song, it's called Something About Us, and like I said, it's on Discovery. It's track 9. It's just really doing it for me.
What is it about that song that is doing it for you?
I don't know exactly. I can't put my finger on it. Because, like, when someone asks you to describe music, you're like, it's pretty.
It's good. It makes me feel a good thing in my heart.
It gives me a tingle. But, like, I think it's the softness, but also I'm a sad person. And that's not like a, ooh, feel sad for me, I'm emo. I'm just like, even when I'm not, like, in a depressive episode, I like things that pull at my heartstrings. And it's not like a, oh, my dog ran away kind of pull at your heartstrings. It's just like a quiet sadness.
I think some people are just sort of more sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be a thing. I mean, melancholy used to be an actual affliction, but we used to see people as like, oh, you're just sort of melancholic. And it might be that those people had depression, but I think some people are just there. Yeah. Like, I think some people can turn off that feeling that they might have for, like, the suffering of the world or whatever, and some people have to tap into it on purpose. I'm that way, too.
So, I guess it's just sort of quietly and, like, almost nobly sad.
Nobly, I like that.
Yeah, it just has this, like, quiet air of, like, not elegance, but nobleness is good. And so I'm really... And it has a funky beat.
So, was it the song you were just playing?
Yeah.
It's funky. It is funky. I liked
it. It's funky, but, like, there's only, like, one portion, really, with lyrics. And the lyrics are simple, but they just, like, kind of like, yeah, all right. So that's it. You know, it's not even, like, something I typically listen to. Because, you know, if I'm usually listening to Daft Punk, it's going to be, like, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger.
Yes.
Or, like, the second track on Discovery, which is, I think, Aerodynamics. I don't know. I guess I rediscovered it because I'd obviously heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I'm discovering it just all anew.
That's one of the best feelings.
Yeah.
There's some albums. There's this one specific album that I listened to a lot when I was younger. And it's actually by David Crowder, who's a Christian musician.
Interesting.
And I've never enjoyed, like, contemporary Christian music. But David Crowder is really thoughtful, and his music is really artful. And I listened to that album for the first time since I was a teenager. And there are a couple songs I had to skip because I was like, middle school, not today,
yikes.
Satan.
Yeah.
But there are a couple, it's just like, and it's such a beautiful feeling because it almost feels like you're composing the song as it happens because you know it, but it's so deep down inside of you. It's so beautiful.
I had that feeling this week. And it's embarrassing. I watched the Barbie movie, The Princess and the Pauper, which I've mentioned before in this podcast, and just the fact that I'm mentioning it twice.
You know what? Barbie gets a bad rep. Barbie is great.
I do. You know what? Like, everyone... No one else focuses on proportions for any other doll. Literally, yeah. Like, G.I. Joe, you think he's sporting accurate proportions?
And the idea
you
think that
potato heads are sporting accurate proportions?
And the idea that giving young people a fashion doll will make them, like, vapid is silly to me. I've always been interested in fashion, and it gave me an outlet for that.
Yeah.
I'm deeply grateful to Barbie. Also, there's a lot of people who talk shade about the pregnant Barbie. They think it's too gross and sexual. My sister and I would, like, take this big Barbie dress and just put a tie around it, like a hair tie. And put the little baby there, because we're like, that's where babies come from. They come from mommy's tummy, and she's going to have a baby.
Life is beautiful, and like... It's
beautiful.
It's not the movie. I don't like that movie.
I haven't seen it, surprisingly.
Some people cite it as one of the... It makes light of something that shouldn't really be made light of. And if you're looking for that kind of making light of something like that, go with Mel Brooks, please. He does it better.
Now I need to watch Spaceballs.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about my artist? Or do you want to talk more about Daft Punk?
Oh, right. I was going to say, just real quick.
I have the Tron soundtrack. That's my Daft Punk live.
Oh my god, yeah. My sister loves Tron. Hi, Lily. Shout out.
Hey, Sarah. You love Tron.
Right. So I watched the movie Barbie, The Princess and the Pauper. It was like my favorite movie when I was little. But I watched it for the first time in like 10 years yesterday. And all the songs were so deep inside. I was like, oh, wow, I know every, yeah, oh, okay, that's happened, mm-hmm.
That's
so
great.
It's kind of like that, like what you just said about like composing it as you're going, I was like, yeah.
Somehow I thought that was going to connect back to Daft Punk, and I was like, I need to watch this Barbie movie.
No, but like I said before, for those of you who didn't hear, the voice of one of the main love interests, dare I say it, the main love interest in the movie, is the voice of L from Death Note.
Shooketh.
He sings about how to be a princess, so if that's not incentive, what is?
When I used to work with kids a lot, I watched a Barbie Fairytopia Mermaidia movie, and I learned that with my high-pitched voice, at least at the time, I'd do a pretty convincing Barbie.
Hi, I'm Barbie.
Barbie Fairytopia Mermaidia. It was a lot.
I used to be able to do a Snow White impression.
I
can't anymore.
You sang a Snow White song the other day, and it was beautiful.
I can sing it, but not in her voice anymore.
That's fair.
I was a teenager, and the voice was a teenager, so it...
Fair.
Yeah.
So my music artist, we've talked about music on, I think it was All In that we talked about music before. But, so I mentioned a couple of my favorite artists being Warren Zevon and Amanda Palmer, and I'm proud to claim those artists, and I'm a little less proud to claim my actual favorite band, Fall Out Boy, just because I have some internalized teen angst about it.
You're wearing a Fall Out Boy t-shirt.
I am. So,
no, that's fine. I love Panic at the Disco, and they're the
great.
Same ilk.
Fall Out Boy I love them both so much. Fall Out Boy has been my favorite band for the last, like, 13 years. Since I heard Sugar were going down on the radio, and I was like, yes. And I bought that album at, like... I think it was Target because I got all the bonus tracks and I just love them so much. Their music has meant a lot to me, and like even aside from even just the music itself or the lyrics themselves, it's been this comfort that I can always return to.
Yeah,
I will go
so
through
great for that kind of thing.
I'll go through phases where I don't listen to them. Well, I won't say not at all, but they'll just be in my mix, and then every few months, I just sort of do this deep dive, and it's so comforting, and I've seen them in concert twice, and I love them so much.
That happens to me. You know, everything in life goes in phases, but, like, my phases are so intense as far as music goes. Like, this week, it's Daft Punk, but I had a huge month-long phase in October where I was obsessed with Phantom of the Opera, the musical, and the book, and the 1925, I'm gonna say, silent film with Lon Chaney. Just
that's
basically obsessed with everything Phantom of the Opera. And
those
it's
songs
not,
are so fun to sing.
It's I love it, don't get me wrong, but like it's not high art. It's high melodrama. It's
it
a
is.
Soap opera.
It's
with
pretty
music.
Problematic too, but it's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think Andrew Lloyd Webber, if you're listening, sorry bud, has a lot of talent. I love Phantom of the Opera, don't get me wrong. But like
are you saying you're not a Cats fan?
You know what? No.
When I was little, my sister and I watched Cats all the time. And we would watch, so PBS would do what my dad lovingly referred to as begathons, which is like, you know, remember donate them? Now, such and such.
I mean, and they still
would,
do them.
They do, that's true. But they would show Cats and then have those commercial breaks. And it was always in the evening and we would have to go to bed before it ended.
Aww.
So when my mom got us Cats like on VHS,
aww,
I remember watching it during the day one time and telling my sister, and she was like, you did not watch Cats today. The sun is still out. It was so cute. She's like, that movie is so long that we always have to go to bed.
What kids associate is so cool.
Yeah. And it was a fun little musical for us to watch. And
yeah.
I remember it fondly, but I haven't watched it as a grown up.
You know what? It's fun. It's enjoyable. Not everything you enjoy has to be high art. Like, I love the director Don Bluth, and I think some of his work really is. Like, The Secret of Nim, that's wonderful. It's amazing. My favorite Don Bluth film is not The Secret of Nim. It's Thumbelina.
Mine's Anastasia.
They're both huge Disney ripoffs.
Yeah, but
they're both not great.
I will fight you to the ends of the earth. Anastasia is not a great movie, you're right, but it's in my heart.
You don't have to always be, oh yes, my favorite movie, Citizen Kane. It's a great movie. But that doesn't always have to be your favorite.
Yeah.
And it can be. Like, I love movies like Some Like It Hot and The Godfather that are, like, classics and revered, and I really do love them, not because of some, like, pretentious, oh, well, they're such good movies. I just really love them. And so, like, it doesn't have to be that, but there's so much restriction on what people can and can't like.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it's not, everything's gonna be at least a little problematic, but if it's not actively hurting or oppressing someone, let me like Thumbelina.
I think that's great. I also, I think it's important to, like, let people like things without knowing everything about them. Like, when I started listening to Fall Out Boy, I didn't know everything about all of them. I do now.
Oh, you like your mom? Name three of her albums.
Exactly, right? It's like, calm down. Like, it's, no one is ever gonna experience new and beautiful things if we shame them for wanting to learn more. So, my next topic that I have written down is cozy spots, and I was wondering if you could read your poem about cozy spots.
I can. I wrote this in like 2 seconds, and it was a poem I didn't especially feel any major connection to. I liked a lot of the other poems because I wrote this for a peer review in creative writing class, and I felt like a lot of my other poems like a lot more, but the people in the class responded to this one. So it's called Safety, kind of fits in, and it goes, in a cozy little nook, all nestled away, here I will hide, and here I will stay. Here I am safe, and here I am warm, all nestled away from the harrowing storm.
It's just, every time I hear it, it makes me happy. It makes me think of little bumblebees and flowers and, like,
aww,
like little, like, did you ever read Little Bear? Like, him, like, wrapped up in a blanket. It's really sweet and snuggly.
I'm so honored that my work can have that kind of effect on anyone.
I think it's the best. So, speaking of cozy spots, I was wondering, whether it's at school or at home, what are some of your favorite cozy spots?
There's two nice armchairs in my, I mean, they're not, like, nice, but they're what we have in my living room, and I kind of like just to curl up and, like, play Zelda on my Switch, or read a book, or draw, or watch Mad Men on my phone, call up to the first episode where I talk about Mad Men.
We also, I believe, talk about Zelda, but, you know, some things are eternal in our hearts.
You know what? I will defend Zelda to my dying day. Mad Men, I can see how it can be low-key a guilty pleasure. Like, the production values are high, but there are some points where I'm like, this won so many awards, but this is the... It's a.
I thought about watching it just for, like, the costuming.
Costumes are so good.
And the set dressing, my dad says it's incredibly accurate. I mean, I know that it is, but my dad's like, I had that chair. Like, he has those moments a lot.
My dad was born in 1960, so he's older than Don Draper's youngest kid. I think he's Don Draper. I don't know, man. He was born in 1960, and my mom was born in 58. So they were watching this like, I had that.
I had that.
Oh, I saw those all over. Oh, the pantsuit.
Oof. I used an image of Helen Keller in my pamphlet that I did, and she's wearing these shoulder pads, like, for the gods. It's so funny.
Okay, hold on. The pamphlet's here. I'm gonna look at it.
Yeah, it's great. She looks great.
I love A.
Look at her go.
She's killing it.
So I have a couple cozy spots. I obviously like to curl up, like, in my bed. Yeah. And I have, like, a little recliner out in my living room. But one of my favorite cozy spots is just on campus. Like, it's not necessarily, like, a specific place. Yeah. I have a couple. Maybe I won't give them away. But I just love, I've always loved just finding little nooks. I actually, when I was little, I would hide, like, sit in my closet a lot. I just liked being in a small space. I think it has to do with growing up with anxiety.
It's comforting. Some people, I can get claustrophobia for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me, I think on a similar ilk, being, like, in a small space kind of helps, like, sometimes, like, my sensory overload.
Yep.
Where it's really just, like, it's, like, almost like a blanket of a space.
It is. And you, it just makes you feel safe. I have issues with being snuck up on. Like, at work, if I'm, I work at a pizza place, and sometimes we have to fold boxes for the pizza. I have a couple of places where I stand, and I will not fold boxes in other places because I have to have my back to the wall.
To the wall, I have to be able
to see. Because on the times that I haven't and I've gotten startled, I, like, lose it at work. Not, like, in an angry way, just to, it's like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
And actually, as an adult, I have gone into that very closet right there and just sort of curled up.
It looks good.
It's nice.
It looks like a good closet to retreat to.
What's interesting to me is that I go to the same side of my closet that I did when I was a kid and lived somewhere else.
That's
it's, like,
so
deep inside of me.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, a Freudian psychologist would say it's something to do with, like,
when being in the womb.
Yeah, I was thinking of, like, Freud would be like, it's because that is the... No, that's French. Hold on. I mean, he did retreat to France, but he was Austrian. Yes. That is the... No, I can't do it.
Oh, my God. Freud? Are you here?
Freud?
Is this Sigmund Freud in this room?
There's... Hey, if you ever want to see Alan Arkin play Freud...
And who doesn't?
Not... If you don't know who Alan Arkin is, he's Santa Claus's father-in-law from the Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
In case you didn't know, Anne can relate anything and everything to Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, and it's honestly a gift.
I can't fight me. Anyway, Alan Arkin, that's not... See, I'm kind of making fun because that's such a minor role for him. He's pretty big. He was also... Another minor role, Schmendrick the Magician in The Last Unicorn, which is...
Schmendrick!
I love...
I haven't
We're
seen
gonna
that
talk
movie.
About
I just
the last
about,
unicorn.
I just
for
like
two
the
seconds.
Name Schmendrick. Let's do it.
I'm real sorry. Schmendrick means idiot, moron in
Does
Yiddish.
It?
Yeah, in Yiddish.
Isn't there a Schmendrick in Little Shop of Horrors?
I don't know.
There's Mr. Mushnick. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Schmendrick is Yiddish for idiot, and it's because Peter S. Beagle was Jewish and he was like, I'm
throwing
gonna put
some shade.
Throwing some shade.
I love that.
Schmendrick's not an idiot. He's just inept at some things.
He does try his best,
and he's so earnest and lovely. Anyway, Schmendrick's my favorite character, followed by Molly Grew, who is, in the movie, voiced by Tammy Grimes. And you don't know Tammy Grimes, but you do know Tammy Grimes. Do you know Tammy Grimes?
No, I was just excited to see how this is going to connect to The Escape Clause, TBH. I can't wait.
The Last Unicorn?
Yes.
Alan Arkin.
Oh, dang it, that's right. That's how we got to The
Last
Unicorn.
That's how we got to here.
Well, fine.
Okay, you know what? Okay, fine. Hold on. Real quick, I'm going to go over the cast of The Last Unicorn because it's star-studded. We have Alan Arkin as Schmendrick. We have Tammy Grimes as Molly Grew. We have Christopher Lee as King Harrigan.
I know who that is.
Yeah. We have Jeff Bridges as Prince Lear. He sings a beautiful love ballad. We have Mia Farrow as the Unicorn. We have Angela Lansbury as Mommy Fortuna. Oh. And... We have Keenan Wynn as supporting cast.
Speaking of Angela Lansbury and musicals,
yeah,
Pirates of Penzance does not get the credit it deserves. I will
Probably
pick
not.
It. I love that musical.
I don't love
the
Angela
first
Lansbury.
Half of it is my favorite musical ever. The second
oh, really?
Half is good.
My favorite musical is West Side Story.
Well, I don't know if it's really my favorite, but
okay. Here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
You're gonna give me a movie. I'm gonna relate it back to the Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
Let me think.
And
of...
if I lose, I get. I don't know what's the penalty here.
Can buy me food.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know what food. We'll determine it later. I'm sure you'll be able to succeed, though. Let me think of, you know, the three movies I've seen. Let me try and give you a challenge.
That's true. I always forget I see a lot of movies.
I picked one. Are you ready?
No.
Babe, yet. Pig in the City.
No!
I saw that part of that movie when I was little, but I saw my piggy bank, so I thought about pigs.
Okay. I'm thinking.
I was going to hum the Jeopardy song, but that's trademark.
If there's radio silence, I'm so sorry. It's because I'm thinking. okay, I know the director directed something recently that was really good. Hold on. We're gonna...
I think you're right. I mean, yeah. I trust that you're right. I feel like I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like...
So while you're pondering that, did you find it?
We're not there yet, but we're gonna be there. 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 Okay, sorry.
This might be a difficult sonic experience for you, the listener, and for that, I apologize.
I got it.
Lay it on me.
Okay, so Babe Pig in the City has Mickey Rooney in it playing Fugly Flume. Fugly? It's a kid's movie. Why are they using the word fugly? But anyway, so Mickey Rooney is in it. And Mickey Rooney is the voice of Santa Claus in Santa Claus is Coming to Town and A Year Without a Santa Claus. But guess who else is in Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Keenan Wynn, who was supporting cast in The Last Unicorn, which has Alan Arkin, who was in Santa Claus 3 The Escape Clause. Yes,
and
please
Boom
give me
the
all
Dynamite.
The awards.
And can do this with every movie in about two
every
minutes.
Movie!
It's incredible. So, segueing from your exhaustive knowledge of film, I want to talk about comfort foods, and what are some of your favorite comfort foods?
Dumplings.
Ooh, I love dumplings.
Like, dumplings, like, pierogies, any, like, stuffed
yes,
starch thing.
I support that. My, one of my good friend's mom grew up in Taiwan, and so she would make us jiatzas, but
yes.
I haven't had them in a while. Because they contain chicken, and that's an animal.
Oh, yeah. Noodles, too, for me. Just
I
like the
noodles.
Act of... It doesn't even matter what noodle, usually. But
my sister doesn't eat any pasta.
It's so sad.
I think she's a communist. I don't know.
You sound like McCarthy.
I know.
Were you, or have you ever been, able to eat pasta?
So, actually, I growing up, that's, like, always been one of my dad's things. It's just like, hey, do you want some such and such? Oh, no, I'm good. And he goes, communist. And, like, as an adult, I'm realizing how hilarious that is. Speaking of noodles, though, my favorite comfort food is my mom's spaghetti. Knees
aww,
weak, arms are heavy. And she, when I was growing up, I saw spaghetti on TV, and it was spaghetti noodles, TM, and they had red sauce with meatballs on top,
oh,
and that's
yeah,
what I wanted.
It's so
but,
good in film. Any
yeah,
food, especially animated. Just like,
especially in Ghibli movies, but that's a whole thing. But so my mom would actually make, she did more of like ground meat in the sauce.
Ooh,
with the spaghetti.
I love that.
And especially growing up, well, so I've always been really close to being a vegetarian my whole life. And when
oh,
I
guess
out,
that wouldn't be good for you.
When I found out that there was deer meat in the spaghetti, I cried my eyes out.
Y'all, she made y'all venison spaghetti?
Oh, yeah, well, because my grandpa hunts deer, and so it was like
a
normal
okay,
thing. It's a delicious flavor, honestly, but now she, I get these little meat, quote-unquote, crumbles that's
yeah,
like the consistency of ground beef, and so she doctors it up for me, and it tastes just like the spaghetti she'd make growing
aww,
up.
Oh, that's
I have
so
a,
sweet.
I have a big tub of it in my fridge, because last
aww,
week was tough, and she came and made me spaghetti
that's
and
so sweet,
some garlic bread.
Thank you,
yeah,
Rebecca's mom.
Thanks, Mom. That's my favorite comfort food. Also, I really like ice cream. I eat a lot of ice cream. I won't
yeah,
apologize.
No, don't apologize. Ooh, you know what I love? I love green tea cheesecake.
Green tea is the best flavor. Green tea mochi, yes please.
Yeah, it's yes, please, pretty good.
Do you, in light of this episode's topic, I want you to share a small wonder. Like, what thing
small
this
wonder,
week did you find that you were just like,
oh, okay, no, I do have one.
Good.
I'm already working on, like, wrapping gifts because I don't want to be behind because every year I'm behind. So I didn't have a box that was fitting what I needed. And I eventually found one, but my mom got in her head that I just needed more boxes. And so they were giving away some ornaments at her work, and she saw an empty box and she took it. And so she brings it to me when I get home, and she's like, oh, what are these? And she was like, well, you need more box. I'm like,
aww,
it's so sweet of you. But that's not the end. Immediately as I touch the box, it falls apart. but it's fine because there was one ornament left inside.
Oh.
And it's a little golden lute. And as you know, I play guitar and I love the lute. I wish I played the lute, but they are expensive. It's a little golden lute and I was so touched. I was
Thanks, Anne's mom.
She didn't know it was in there.
That's so cute.
She thought it was just an empty box.
The universe gave you a little mini lute.
I know. I was like, oh my God. And so it was just, I have this like little mini lute ornament. Oh, another small wonder. I mean, it's not a small wonder as that.
It's okay. Gold, so it's like loot, even though it's also a loot. Hey!
Sorry, I just anime villain laughed. I also, it's Hanukkah, and so my family.
Happy Hanukkah what I should say, or is there like a cool thing to say for Hanukkah? Is there a cool thing you say to your family members?
No.
Okay.
It's Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, and
I saw something on Tumblr.
I love your menorahs.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a tiny one named Alan, after Alan Arkin. Can you tell I like Alan Arkin?
Your menorah relates to the Santa Claus 3, the escape clause, so directly.
And my main one is named David, because I'm super original, Star of David. Ha 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 ha. So that's it.
I love that you just roasted yourself for, like, being Jewish.
What? Yeah.
David is an influential figure in Judeo-Christian beliefs, faux show.
It's very much true. My dad's first name is David.
My dad's middle name is David.
My dad's middle name is Mark, and he goes by it. He goes by Mark.
What's your dad's first name? David. Oh, David. Sorry, I got confused.
So yeah, I celebrate Hanukkah, but I'm not like strictly Jewish, and I celebrate Christmas, but I'm not strictly Christian either. Don't roast me.
No, you know what? You grew up in the family you grew up in. I think that's totally valid. My small wonder, it's a teeny tiny little, 10-month-old wonder.
Ooh.
Because Cardi B, my
icon,
my soul, I love her so much. She's a Libra. She's a goddess.
We're Libras.
Yes.
Sorry, it's not important.
I love her. Well, so she announced yesterday that she's getting a divorce, and I say good for her.
Good for her.
If you're getting a divorce, it means something needs to change, and something is changing. And honestly, as a... I relate to her a lot in that, like, she tells it how it is. I appreciate that. But she was a sex worker, and she was proudly was a sex worker, and she specifically was a sex worker at one time to get out of an abusive relationship, which is very similar to my own story. And as a divorced woman who is, you know, Cardi's like a week older than I am, I feel...
Really?
Yeah, so for... Not that I think it's good for her to get divorced, but it sounds like it's not working.
Same year as well as same star sign. So that means your Chinese zodiac is the same too.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. What are your Chinese zodiac?
A dog.
I'm the year of the tiger. I'm so happy. Cool. About it. Yeah, because I love cats.
That's great.
Sorry, that's...
I love tigers. No, it's great.
I'm completely distracted from you.
Anyway, so yeah, I love Cardi, and she's getting divorced, and good for her.
Good for
her. But she posted a picture of Culture for the first time in Culture's life. She's posted, like, Culture's little hands before.
For those of you who don't know, Culture is her child.
Culture with a K, because anything else would be basic. That's what
God.
When she was born.
That's not basic.
I know, it's great. But anyway, so Culture's adorable, and she's beautiful, and I love
her. She's pretty cute.
She's a good baby.
Oh, also, Ariana Grande's Thank You Next is wonderful and poppin'. Have you seen it?
I have not seen the video, but I hear it's like iconic.
It's poppin'.
I'll have to watch it. I respect her so much. I just never really find myself listening to her music.
No, I really have never really listened to her before at all.
She's talented. That girl can sing. Have you seen her do that, like, roulette wheel?
On Jimmy Fallon.
She's so good.
Yeah, and, like, I've heard her Judy Garland impression. Like, oh my God.
So,
Ari.
On a last little note, since we have just maybe a couple minutes left, I wanted to talk real quick about what you're doing for self-care these days.
I play music, I take deep breaths, and I take breaks when I need them.
Heck yeah.
And those breaks, you know, it could be the music, like I just mentioned, or playing Zelda, like I've mentioned a million times, and I will mention a million times more.
Yes. I've been playing that Love Nikki game on my phone that you
and Sarah
play. Oh my
God. I play that every day over the summer. I mean, every day.
It's so cute. I love the fashion. Yeah. I love that stuff. And I've been listening to The Adventure Zone again from the start.
Yes, yes.
And I just treated myself to a box of 9 different types of loose leaf tea and a box of bath bombs. So, and on Tuesday after my finals, I'm going to, like, hang out with my sister, and I'm going to buy a French silk pie, and we're going to celebrate. It's going to be great.
You're killing it.
Thank you. You're killing it.
You're Thank you.
You want to play us out?
Yeah, I'll play us out. Just goodbye, folks.
Goodbye, folks. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Goodbye.
We love you so much. Thank you for listening.
I hope you have some small wonders.
I hope you have some big wonders.
I hope you have wonders of all shapes and sizes. Sorry, that was...
No, now I feel like I'm discriminating against other types of... You're right. Which, any type of wonder.
Any type of wonder.
Just accept life as it is.
Any type of folk. Beauty. All right. I did that to make Becca laugh.
That's perfect, actually.